No, racism was just like the kind to like drive by your house like late at night and scream the N-word with the hard R. You just wanted to be a white girl back then. But one thing that was really prominent at the time was colorism. A lot of them would say, oh, preferences, Latina, light skin, but no, it's not a preference. It's just that you don't like the fact that
you are yourself a
dark skinned black man. It's just like, raw, like, can I ever get a break? I would come on the Sunday or the Friday choir run to, you know, I'm Laura, you know, we're in church. But at home or in ends, just know that I was partying a lot.
So you were living a double life?
I was just convicted.
Wow.
I said, God, what have I been doing?
Welcome back to the Come See podcast. It's me, Dami Okeke. I'm your host. And as usual, thank you so much to all those who are family here. Every subscriber, whether you listen on Spotify, Apple, or you watch on YouTube, if you are a subscriber, then I just want to say thank you so much. We appreciate you. Thank you for your support. If you're new to the family, welcome. And let me just tell you, you need to hit the subscribe button. Like, comment, do all the things that, you know, will let us know that you're joining the family. And I'm so excited about who we're going to be chatting to today. And it's so funny because we've already had a God moment, and I'm going to share that in just a second. But my guest today is a vibrant creative. She's Nigerian, Irish-born artist with a distinct sound, the perfect blend of gospel, alternative R&B, soul, and Afrobeats. Her music career is continuing to grow from strength to strength. And I'm excited to welcome to the Come See podcast, Laura Ahio. Did I say your surname right?
Yeah, Ahio. Yeah.
Ahio.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Hi.
It is so lovely to have you in the chair now.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the God incident.
Oh, let's talk about it.
This morning, actually, since yesterday, I'm like, God, what am I wearing for, you know, today's episode? And God was like, I got you. So he's like, okay, put this together. Laura walks in and I'm like, the Holy Spirit was also speaking to you because we're basically twinning.
No, we are. We like to the T, black shoes, blue trousers.
We've got
the black and the white and the, you know what I'm saying?
We're in school uniform. That's what happens when you're
looking like a student.
Of one accord, the same Spirit of God.
Of course.
You know, come on.
Yes.
He's not the author of confusion. Hello? Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited to discover more about your story. And let's start with your upbringing, because you already told me that you were born in Ireland.
Yeah,
so let's start from there.
Yeah, I was born in Ireland. I lived there till I was about 12. So that was a while ago, not too long. I'm a young girl. I'm a young babe. So I moved here. Early secondary school times.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a culture shock. Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Like, I have a very, as somebody who's grown up in London, I have a very naive understanding of what happens in Ireland. Like, until I saw Victor Alfred, I didn't really think there were black people in Ireland.
Yeah, it's one of them countries where it's like, oh. But you know what? One thing about Nigerians specifically, you're going to find them
everywhere.
Like, I saw this TikTok and it was talking about how there's an RCC church.
In Alaska
RCCG.
Or somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, Alaska. There's one in Japan.
Wow.
There's one in there was one in like Thailand and Philippines. Like, Nigerians are just going to be everywhere.
Come on.
We're so sorry.
Yes.
You know?
And we're not sorry.
And we're not. Sorry,
we're
not sorry.
Sorry.
So, yeah.
So you moved to London when you were in your early teens. What was home life like growing up in Ireland? Not necessarily more about Ireland, but like your family dynamics, faith. What was that like?
So, we did go, obviously we went to church, you know, every Nigerian.
Sunday.
Sunday.
Phil?
Oh, yeah. We all lived the same.
Yeah.
You
upbringing.
Know. Yes.
So it was a Christian family.
No, 100%. And then I think before we did move to England, we went in a church, as per se, until we moved to England, just for a bit, because I feel we left our old church.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a Christian upbringing. I lived with my mum, my dad, and my brothers. And yeah, pretty much, like, it was just kind of calm.
The regular family.
Yeah, it wasn't anything.
That's a bit of a luxury. Not everybody grows up with both parents.
Well, now I'm not with both. But back then, yes. So okay. I got to live that experience just for a little while. But, you know, and then after, you know, things
happen. Life. Adulting.
And things happen. So, but yeah. Cool. Yeah, literally.
Cool. Yeah. So you come to London. How are you settling in as a teenager and in a completely new environment?
So in Ireland, I'm going to speak about Ireland for a bit. So in Ireland, yes. So the area that I lived in was a very Oyinbo area.
Oyinbo meaning whites.
Predominantly Caucasian. White, very, very white.
Environment, right.
Area. So we were like one out of two families out of the whole.
Wow.
Like, just say, like, let's say, like, Lewisham.
The whole community,
the whole thing. Wow. It was like maybe one to three black families.
Wow.
How
did that affect you?
Oh, like, it was kind of brazy.
Identity, your sense of belonging, beauty, all those things. How did that affect you?
So, I love this question, right? Because we're going to get into it.
We have to.
So where I was, there was a lot of racism. No, of racism course. Was just like...
the norm.
No, it was like...
extreme.
Extreme. Wow. Like, not saying like, oh, like back in the day, but it was very much, you'd walk out and you'd have eggs all over your cars.
Wow.
Yeah. They'd do that. Or they would graffiti on your door. And because there was only like three black families, they knew whose house, like they knew where the black families lived. So we'd come out the back of our house, there would be graffiti, but it would be racial slurs as well. They're the kind to like drive by your house like late at night and scream the N word with the hard R at the end. So no, like, yeah, went through it, innit? But it was character building. It was very character building. And it was definitely like you just wanted to be a white girl back then. And I went to an all girls school, primary school, and early primary school kind of school. So it was just like, you know, you wanted the braids so you could walk and swing your hair as well. You wanted to, do you know what I mean? Like all of these things. But it was definitely character building. Then I moved to London.
Complete extreme. Like, there are brown faces everywhere.
Whoa. I got on the bus called the 472.
Come on,
you know,
now.
The 417.
If you know the 417.
If you know about the 470.
Shout out to you.
All right. So I got on at Woolwich. This was
you're like, is this Nigeria?
Maybe it was like the first. Yeah, maybe it's the first bus that I entered, red bus that I actually got on. And I saw black people everywhere. I said, is this like a church bus?
Are we still in London?
I genuinely thought it was
still
like,
in the UK.
Yeah, I was thinking, what the heck? Like, is the segregation happening in this country? Like, what the heck is going on? Everyone on that bus was black. And I said, what the heck? Like, this is not normal. I thought maybe we jumped on like a bus that's like for a church. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's some churches that have that travel.
Yeah.
I thought it was that. It wasn't.
Like a shuttle.
Yeah, then later down the journey, I saw like a white man and his wife. And I said, so...
you guys are in the minority.
So this is normal. I said, rah.
Yeah.
Obviously, now I went into school.
You would have seen a more balanced mix.
My school was very diverse. Oh. So yes, there was a balanced mix, but there was a lot of black people, but from everywhere. Mm. So even like my friendship circle, like everyone was from a different country. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I had people from Guinea-Bissau, Angola.
Wow.
I had people from Sao Tome. I had people from Brazil. I had people... do you get what I'm saying? There was someone that I knew that was Greek and Ghanaian. Like, where the
come
do you
on,
find
that's
out?
A mix.
Yeah, but like, it was so normal in my school.
Yeah.
So being in that kind of school was great. I loved it because it was so diverse. But one thing that was really prominent at the time was colorism. So I moved from racism.
So you went from racism where into, you were black and so it was a no.
Right.
To
now colorism.
Your ebony, rich, beautiful. Melanin popping.
Thank you, ma.
Extra.
Thank you,
but these people are looking for the light.
Do you know what? So it was such a prominent thing, and it was like, okay, cool. At first, it was like, oh, there's so many black people. This is cool. To like, oh, flip. These men don't.
These men don't even like
black people. They're like the darkest of black people. Like, you have to be closer to white to be accepted.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So obviously, at the time, it wasn't really as bad in my school because we were girls and, you know, it was fine. But when we started making friends outside of our school, and obviously we had guy friends and like we were kind of a very sociable year group. Mm. And like the time, the era, mm-hmm. was everyone knew each other in the borough.
Yeah.
But it was such a prominent thing back then. And it was just like, raw, like, can I ever get a break? Do you know what I mean? It was kind of like mad. But
the pretty one? When will I be the...
Character building at the time, I was like, yeah, whatever it is, what it is. Yeah. Then, like, how I came out of that was, it was actually social media. I started to see, like, black woman pages. And, like, I still follow them to this day. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I used to see models who were dark. And I was like, bro, wait, hold on. You can be a model and dark. Like, I didn't know. Like, you could be, like, pretty and dark skin could be associated with each other. Mm. So from there, my confidence started to build up. I had a really close friend of mine. She was also dark skin, really close. And our birthdays were close to each other. And her name was Lara. Mm. And I was Laura. So a lot of people used to say, oh, like, so... And I could see that she was kind of flourishing in her skin as well. And it was just nice to see.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a shift in England when... it was like 2016 when all of a sudden it was cool to be black.
Yeah.
And Chocolate Darling started to reign about. And there were so many things. It was just around
melanin
that.
Was a
Yeah,
thing,
melanin
like,
popping. Do you remember that phrase?
Yeah.
Black girl magic.
Yeah, all of those things became.
Yeah, that all birthed. And it was just like, raw. But I could talk about this topic. I could write a book on this topic. And I'm really like outspoken about it now. So
a few times you talk about character building and it's nice to say that now.
Yeah.
But can you just like actually talk about the impacts that really had on you? I mean, like the Bible talks about us being fearfully and wonderfully made.
Right.
But the experience you were having did not reflect
that.
Yeah. So what was that contradiction like? For you dealing with that as a young woman, what was it like for you dealing with that contradiction of having, you know, I'm sure at home as well, they're telling you you're fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, you're beautiful, you're made in the image of God, and then you go outside and they're like, nah,
yeah,
nah.
So I guess I'm trying to like actually remember, but I guess it was so. For example. It was having a lack of representation that really affected, like, my thought process around that time. So even my mum, like, she's a light-skinned woman. She's a fair woman.
Really?
She's a light-skinned woman.
Wow.
This is my mum. She's my...
Oh, she's wow. Nice beauty queen.
I don't know if you guys can see her.
Shout out to mummy.
Shout out to mumsy. Oh, there it is. Yeah. She's a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous woman. But she never knew that I was going... through things like that because it was
just like,
she
didn't know you were gonna experience that.
She obviously she wouldn't experience it because she's a fair woman, right?
Yeah.
My sisters, I've got older sisters who are also fair. They look like my mom. I look like my father.
Are you the only
in the house? I'm the only dark skinned
woman.
Girl.
Wow.
In my house, but not in my family. I think in my dad's family there's quite a few.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, because I was took after my father.
Yeah.
You know, so
but that's tough.
Yeah.
Like your sisters are like light skinned.
Yeah,
your
but I never did grow up with them, but it was just like I didn't have someone to kind of like tell me, oh no, like your skin like, you know what I mean? It's
my skin's
like,
lit.
You know what I mean? You know. So I guess at the time it was all about like making sure you look good and like making sure your personality is top notch and making sure like it was very much compensating. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like I was lucky enough to not be in a mixed school, because one thing about colorism back then in the UK, it was mostly from black men. 110%. Wow. I can put my hands up. 100%. It was definitely from black men, and it was obviously a lack of confidence from their
from
side.
Their own,
as
they
well.
Were projecting
it. Was self-hatred from their side, and they were projecting that. A lot of them would say, oh, preferences, Latina, light skin, but no. No, it's not a preference. It's just that you don't like the fact that
you are a
dark-skinned black man. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm going to... it's something that I will say with my chest because it's fact.
It was a
reality.
Do
you understand what I'm saying? It was a reality. And you could tell, like, even, like, the most prettiest of dark-skinned girls that I've seen in my life, right? They would still get shunned upon because they are dark-skinned.
They were not passing that test.
Yeah, and it was crazy to me. Me, but it was crazy.
Even you,
but
you are fine. I'm not really sure. It was their loss. It saved you a whole bunch of heartache, to be fair.
But obviously now, thank God, things have changed now. Yeah. And there's a,
there's more education.
Yeah.
There's more of an awareness. I feel like, just like you said, because of representation, people's understanding of beauty has been widened.
Yes. 100%.
It's not like you weren't beautiful. Yeah. It's just like now people's eyes are actually
opening. There was a lack of understanding. Yeah.
Opening that. Yeah. Yeah.
And a lack of knowledge. And it was like, I'm kind of lucky to have seen. I'm happy I lived in that era where I actually got to experience and see the transition happen and see people actually transform into their new confident selves, where they're now comfortable in their own skin. Yeah. Like, they want to go on holiday and stay out. And just like me, I want my skin to get...
Yes,
I feel like when
even
in the
darker.
Summer... Yeah, like my skin is more even toned. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When there's
it
sun,
radiates.
Like, give it to me.
Come on.
Do you know what I mean? But back then it would be like, what the flip? But now it's just like, by the
cover
grace.
Everything.
Yeah, but now it's just like...
Good.
Even like with my hair as well. That's another thing that was shunned upon. Well, especially in Ireland, because everyone used to relax their hair to make it look like So, but you know, moved here, and I guess in those aspects, I got to see other black girls wear their natural hair with pride, and it kind of helped. So it kind of helped with my appearance. Like, I knew, okay, cool. Like, my hair's lit. Like, my hair's like, do you know what I mean?
Like,
the bigger your puff, the litter you wear. Do you know what I mean?
Come on. It was the opposite. Like, what is that in your head? Yeah.
But so moving into my all-girls school, I got to experience that. Oh yeah, like your hair, like why are you relaxing your hair? Like, have that.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was nice.
Beautiful.
So even though, yes, colorism was a thing,
having natural hair was okay by that
time. It was very much okay. And being black was fine. So I guess, yeah.
So, Laura, tell me about your come see story. You talk about growing up in a Nigerian Christian home, but when did you develop a personal faith? That was your Laura. This is Laura's faith now.
So when I moved to England, to the UK, to London, we started going to church again. And obviously it was a very, very big church. I'm not gonna say the name, but
I think I know what church it is.
You think?
I think so.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah. Cause there aren't that many big black churches in Southeast London.
It wasn't in Southeast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Were you traveling?
Oh, yes. Oh, I was traveling. It was in East. Very, very big church.
Okay.
And obviously the youth there were really, like, there was a lot of youth there. So I was like, oh my gosh, like, there's other like,
young
black
people
that I can be friends with and stuff. So anyways, I joined the choir there. And because I already was singing before, but because, how do I explain it? Because the transition period, and we weren't really going to church before we moved. So I wasn't really singing in church, but I was definitely singing. So I got to like move to a church where the youth were on fire for God and they actually loved God, and I was learning and I was being edified. And I guess that's when I began to understand who God is and kind of knowing for myself. That's when I was introduced to a lot of worship music as well, and music that I would listen to. So not just on the Sunday morning when your mom is waking you up to clean the house, or is it Saturday morning?
Before church.
Yeah, like I genuinely loved these songs, and that's what kind of, that kind of sparked the worshiper in me, you know? So, and then I feel like we go through stages. So once I did leave there, I moved again to another church, like six
years later.
Was that
because you relocated, or no, you just decided to change
church? No, I decided to change church. And that's when I...
What led to that? Why did you? Why? What happened?
So it was the youth services weren't happening anymore. Oh. So we were in the main church, but there was no relatability between the pastor and youth.
Yeah.
So it felt like I was just going because of routine.
Yeah.
And I was just there, you know, we'd be at the back upstairs messing about and like joking or whatever. But we were genuinely trying to understand what the preaching was about.
It
just wasn't connecting with us.
How did you get away with having that conversation with your mum about, I'm not going to go to your church?
I think it was a very transitional thing. So I think when I did join the youth, I started going, making my way on my own.
Oh.
Right? So I wouldn't go with my mom because she would make me late, and I was in the choir and I had to be there before.
Okay.
Do you understand? Do you get what I'm saying? So for years I was just going on my own.
Yeah. So when it was
and
time
then I would
for you
meet
to
meet my mom in the church, and then I would probably leave after her because I wanted to chill and whatever. But when it was time to leave, it was just like, I think she was very understanding. My mom's a very understanding person, which, and I'm blessed to have a mom like her, because I know a lot of African parents, from what I hear, wouldn't really be cool with that.
Can
like
be quite tunnel.
Yeah,
in
like
their,
why
in their
are you gonna
vision? Yeah, in their way of understanding.
Yeah, but my mom was really understanding about it, and she was very, very understanding about it. And I'm grateful that she was understanding because if I kept going, I probably would have just lost my
faith,
because then it would have just been such a routine based thing, you know, instead of a relationship.
Come on. So when you moved to another church, was this the church that you'd say really like?
Yeah. So I saw the church is mainly a youth-based church.
Yeah.
And there were hundreds. I said, oh.
Wow.
So the size, and it was in ends, right? So I was like, okay, cool. Another reason why I left my old church, the one in East London, right? I would come on the Sunday or the Friday choir rehearsals. You know, I'm Laura, you know, we're in church. But at home or in ends, just know that I was partying a lot.
Hey,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, no,
see,
yeah.
Okay, wait,
sorry,
I need to,
yeah.
Let me just, commercial break. Because you see how she glossed over all of that. No, don't forget.
And now I'm
this is Comsi podcast.
Yeah,
so please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So explain that. So you were living a double life.
Oh.
Too real?
No, I'll speak about it 100%. I'm cool to speak about
it. What was that? What was going on there?
So it was the fact that no one could check me. Like
because, in your house or like?
No, like in, not even in my house, but in terms of like a lot, some of the other people in church, right, had people that lived nearby them. So they weren't just friends on a Sunday. But for me, I only saw these people on a Sunday unless like we deliberately met up outside of choir rehearsal and Sunday services, right? So how do I explain this? So when I was when I was just like at home with my friends at home, or like my friends at school and stuff, we would go out and we'd, you know, we'd party. Yeah, we'd go to places.
What did that party in?
Block parties. You know, back then. Oh, tell a friend to tell a friend.
Am I showing my age? Do you guys call it shubs?
No, I'm so sorry.
What do you guys call it? Just a party.
Emotive, innit?
Emotive. Oh, I just showed my age.
You showed your age. Just a little bit, my sister. But also, I'm showing my age too.
Because yeah. Motive. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
It was motive. Like, you know them flyers that used to go around, tell a friend to tell a friend.
Flyers?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
the times have changed, boy.
On Snapchat, and it would be written flyers. On your iPhone notes.
You guys had flyers?
Yeah.
So Laura was having the parties.
Yeah, man. The like, it was kind of brazy store. It was very...
Were you not being convicted? Did you not feel like, oh, I shouldn't be here? Was the... Were you not... Was the Holy Spirit not telling you, Laura, my daughter, what
are you
doing?
Do you know what
here?
It was? Because my idea of my walk with Christ was very much routine-based.
There was religious.
There was no conviction like that, because it was a thing where, like, even some people that I knew in church were also partying and
like I go to a rave and I see like and I see church them. Members.
In fact, we even go together. What? How about that? It was honestly like it was kind of mad, and like because when I went on a Sunday, these things weren't being preached to me because it was only. Accustomed for the aunties to understand.
Yeah.
Sometimes the church will be laughing, ah, ha, ha.
And you're like,
and
crickets.
We're literally like, what's just happened? Like, I didn't understand a thing.
Yeah.
And it happened all the time. So there was no conviction there at all.
So when did that awareness for holiness, for sanctification, for godliness, when did all of that come?
So when I moved and I went to this church in Ends.
Oh, by the way, when she says Ends, she's talking about... But Laura and I are both from Southeast London.
Oh, yes. So that's the reason why. Sorry. I'm speaking in lingo. How dare I? Sorry. A church in my area.
Yes.
Right? The London in me. Come on. It's South London. Yeah, so when I started going to that church, this new church, and I'm still at this church right now, the preaching was very much accustomed to the young people. Yeah. I felt like
the experience you're having as a young woman of God.
Yes. So everything that he was like preaching about is as if he followed me throughout my week.
Yeah.
I said, oh, flip, swear.
So the parties are not good. They're not okay.
I was just convicted.
Wow.
I said, God, what have I been doing? And at the time...
Having a laugh. That was
I was just dilly. What was I doing? So, and at the time, I was also in a relationship, which I ended.
Oh.
Oh, no, I know. My stories are crazy still.
Do you know what? It's so funny, yeah? Laura thinks she's smart, innit? Because she knows we're running out of time. So she I will ask you. So, this relationship that was happening, was it the holy type of...
No.
Okay.
I'm gonna
it had
say
seasoning.
No.
It had extra sauce.
No. Just, no. Like, and you know one thing
But the Bible tells you no. So that one wasn't...
But at the time, it was when I was thinking of leaving my church. So it was around that time where I was just going for the sake of just attendance and just showing my face and just like, oh, I'm going to be bored today. I might as well just go in and gist with my other friends. That's what church was. So that's what it became at that time. So when I got into this relationship, oh, God, I can't. Oh, my God.
Do it.
When I got into this relationship, it was around that time, and I was just like, oh, I don't care anymore.
Wow.
And yeah, man, it's sad. It's so sad. So it was around that, like, oh, I don't really care anymore. Like, I even left.
Was this your first, like, proper?
Oh, no. No.
You see what Laura's doing?
Do you know what? I would say first, serious one, right? It was kind of serious. And then anyways,
the look on your face is the disgust.
Yeah, man, because it was just like, do you know what I mean? It was kind of serious, but then I think summer came around. Then that's when I joined my church now,
the new church,
and I was just like, do you know, I'm locking this off.
I was gonna say, how did you lock it off?
I locked it off.
Was that, it like lose my number?
Yeah, it was just like, yeah, no, it's not working. By like, it was kind of sad how I did it.
You and did.
It was very inconsiderate, but I had to do it. I had to cut.
If your left eye causes you to sin, if your hand causes you, just
I had to cut it off, man. I had to instantly snip.
Yeah.
And it was the best decision of my life. And then then I was like, I don't want to get into a, I took a break from like relationships and all of them things. Like I said, I'm not going to get into a relationship until I am
like ready for marriage.
Until God tells me to. So I joined this new church. I was just so convicted. Yeah. I kind of seized all the partying and stuff. I lost my appetite for it. I feel like once you start to build a relationship with God, you start to throw away all the former things and you start to stop doing the things that
all things have
God
become new.
If you're friends with someone and they don't like something, or if you love someone and you know that they don't like something, you will want to not do that thing, especially if it's not benefiting both of you.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So knowing that God didn't like these things, I was convicted by that. And I said, no, I can't do that because I genuinely want to build a relationship with you. Yeah. So it was like, if I want to do that, I need to let these things go, right? Yeah. So I had to do that. I cut off some friends. It was just nice. It's nice
free.
Now. It's freeing, you know? It's very freeing.
Yeah.
And pretty much.
Wow. I want to talk about your music.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations, because you're doing bits. And I'm excited by your journey. Your sound is so distinct.
Thank you.
Especially now knowing that we could have been hearing a very different kind of Laura coming from Ireland.
Oh my goodness gracious me.
Thank Jesus for that move. Yes, but so I just want to find out, like, how did your music develop, your interest in music? What made you decide, you know what, I'm going to do this? Like, seriously, I'm going to take this seriously.
So I've always been a musical child. Like, I've always been the one in primary school. Oh, who's the sportiest? Who's the most musical? Oh, Laura. Do you know what I mean? Moved here, the school that I chose. So there's a booklet that you go through, right, when you want to choose your school.
Yeah.
The reason I chose that school is because a girl was holding the guitar.
Wow.
That's a school for me. My mom didn't want me to go, but I was like, no.
No.
I'm going.
I've made up my mind.
So like, I loved, and I was blessed to be in that school because it was a very performing arts like kind of centered school.
Yeah.
So like, we had shows going on all the time, dancing,
fantastic,
acting and singing. So it was great. why did I want to pursue music? So at the time, do you know what? I went to two music colleges. So I went to go pursue music in terms of like education.
Wow.
And I loved it. And in my church as well, my church now, there's a lot of Christian artists who release music.
Yeah.
A lot of them are rappers.
Yeah.
Some do Afrobeats. So I got to see how they just went to studio.
How they navigate it, yeah.
And they just
record.
You know, oh, there's an engineer that mixes. Okay, I didn't know this is da 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 da. And this is how it's done. And I was like, raw, like, it's actually easy. Not terrible. Like, it was just, but before that, it was such a daunting thing. Like,
yeah, oh
like
it's gosh, a big like, thing. Where do I start?
Music, like, I have to write and I have to, but it wasn't even like that. So I saw the fun side to it. And I saw that doing Christian music is actually cool. And people actually listen to this thing.
Yeah.
To gospel music, urban gospel music.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. Then I started writing. I always wrote on my guitar first. I still write on my guitar. And then I released my first single called Stay Prayed Up in 2020. I love that song. I love performing that song.
Yeah.
You
are an amazing live performer.
Thank you.
Like.
Thank you.
I watched a live performance of, I think it's Pompous.
Okay, yeah.
I was like, what? How can the live be better than the studio? What inspired the song Pompous?
So when I had the word pompous in my head, I think I was going through a phase in life where it was like I was shedding off the friends. You know when you want to hold on to your secondary friends because you've known them for long, but it's just like I'm actually trying to shed these things away. Even like certain mindsets and certain habits that I used to do, you know? Be transformed through the renewing of your mind. You understand what I'm saying? So I had to kind of let these things go. But then it would be a thing of, I was kind of, I would hear people say from their experience that people have said to them, oh, why you're doing this Christ thing a bit too much. Like,
holier than thou.
Yeah, like, what? You're not coming clubbing anymore. Oh, so what? You're moving a bit prestige now. You're moving a bit pompous.
Mm.
I was like, oh. Okay. So when I went to the studio, I was with Sam, my friend Sam, who produced the track.
Yeah.
And it was very much, it was probably one of the quickest songs I've ever written. And I usually take a long time to write. Yeah. I take a long time to write. but I was in the studio. I knew that I wanted to write a song called Pompous, right? And I knew every time I write a song, I never want to go the cliche route at all. Because there's many songs that talk about, that can talk about love in that particular way. But I wanna go down another avenue. Yeah. So when I had the word Pompous, I was like, okay, cool, what can I write about this? Yeah. And then the verse, 2 Peter 1:10 came into mind. It says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. So that verse spoke to me at the time, and I knew what my calling was, and I just knew that I had to be diligent about it. Not even just diligent, even more diligent, as the verse says. And I won't stumble. So if I want to do it right, I have to make sure that I'm diligent. I have to make sure that if I'm going to do Christian music, they know that I am a Christian. They know, like, it's not
got to live
questionable.
It.
Like, do you know what I mean? I've got to live that truth. So I kind of meshed both things together, and I had Pompous. People can call you Pompous for wanting to make your call and election sure, basically.
Yeah.
And that's how the song came about.
It's a beautiful song. I love that track.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, Laura tried to do a dilly-dally.
I know. I wish we had better time, man.
We need so much more time.
Yeah.
You know what? Because you're on end, I'm going to see if I can find my way to ask Laura to come back again, because I feel like there's so much more that we can learn from your work, from your walk, your journey. What is coming up for you for now? What can we be looking out for the rest of the year?
So I am working towards my EP.
Woo!
It's time for a project. I'm amazing. Really excited about this EP. I feel like it kind of shows my artistry, my musicality as an artist holistically, right?
Ooh, so tell them.
This English
all of
that
the
I'm
lilies.
Speaking, please, oh, ah. but it just, it shows who I am as an artist in its entirety. Do you know what I mean? So a lot of people see me as like, oh, they know Laura from Pompous. Some people know Laura from Stay Prayed Up. Some people know Laura from before that, when I used to just gig around London. And some people know Worship.
Yeah.
Laura, right? So
this EP.
Yeah, it kind of just
all encompassing.
Everything together.
Amazing.
I'm really excited about it.
Amazing.
So yeah, there's definitely a few shows
upcoming. Yes.
And yeah, just stay tuned, because I'm really like excited for this year, even though we're already kind of halfway, but I'm excited for what God has in store for me.
Amen.
You know.
It's beautiful. It's great what God has in store for you. I can already see. I'm like, this girl is doing bits. She's doing
a
lot.
Thank you.
And I commend your consistency and your excellence, like you were saying just now about your music.
Yeah.
And don't worry, I'll be getting that EP when it comes out.
By the grace.
I'll be getting it. Thank you so much tuning in to the Come See podcast. Thank you so much, Laura, for coming. Look at
Thank
me.
Thank you for bringing me
running
on.
Away. Thank you so much for coming. And like I said, we're going to get her back on. Okay. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you haven't already, subscribe, like, leave a comment. Let me know what part of Laura's story struck a chord with you. See what I did there? Struck a chord. Music.
I like that.
Until next time, God bless.